Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
Welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing, fighting monsters, and just kind of an undercurrent of generalized racism through the whole thing.
Hooray!
that could describe any episode, but
especially this one.
Yeah, a little bit more so in this one. I'm Zach, and joining me this week, we've got Matt.
It's me. I've been playing so much Overwatch, and that's why I haven't been on.
It's okay. We've got Simon.
I have a baby, but I'm still on.
Oh, shit. Called out.
Yep.
And we've got Mike.
Oh, this was really uncomfortable, you guys. This was uncomfortable.
Which, what was uncomfortable? The episode or Simone being really jealous of my sick, nasty 180 nose scopes?
I was going to say the racism, but sure, let's go with sick, nasty,
We're all very uncomfortable here. Right?
totally rude, brazen,
for
sick.
For various reasons.
And we have our new friend, Lau.
Hello. I come from far away. Americans would never know where it
is. Yeah, probably not.
No,
90%
no.
Of us.
Well, I mean,
I know
you sound Russian, so I'm going to go with that.
I know.
That's completely wrong.
You see, it's really easy. There are only two places. There's America and there's not America, and you're from not America. So there we go. Got it. Nailed it.
Exactly.
Well, so okay, then we have two not Americans on.
Yeah, that's right. I'll see you at the barbecue next weekend, Lau.
Oh yeah, I'll totally come.
So Lau, you are from Denmark, right?
Yes, I'm from Denmark.
So not Russia.
No, the capital of IKEA.
Okay, cool.
That's also a joke in case the Americans couldn't tell.
Before we started recording, you had to explain, like, our own history to us, so I mean, like,
that's true.
Yeah. Edgar Hoover and Herbert Hoover are not the same people, let me tell you.
Yeah. So, one of the cool things, about having you on is, you are the second person we've had on who grew up in a non-English speaking country, who still has Power Rangers experience from when you're a kid, including, Simon is the other one. So, what was your experience like with Power Rangers when you were a kid?
I mean, let's be honest, you don't miss that much if you don't understand what people are saying.
No, I mean, that's true.
Bulk and Skull are still silly.
Yeah.
Rita's still clearly evil and incompetent and, the fights are still fights.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, what else do you really need?
Yeah. And I mean, they call out so much of what they do that you can easily tell that's what everything is called, because that's whatever they just yelled before we saw it, so yeah.
That's true. You know, you don't need to know, like, Dragon Zord. You don't need to speak English to know it's called the Dragon Zord.
Although, when I was a kid, I thought there was a form of the Megazord that was called the Megazord Power, because that's what they always yell before it comes up. But, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yep. That makes sense.
Yep.
So, did you, how much of this did you watch when you were a kid? Or just,
I think I mean, from probably from the beginning up to some point during the second season.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely watched stuff where they had the new swords and there was Tommy was the White Ranger.
Okay, cool.
I don't remember watching up to the point where they replaced people, but then I also didn't really remember anything about Lord Zedd. But it would be hard to have seen stuff with the new swords without Lord Zedd.
Yeah.
Also, when I watched some of the episodes a while ago, I didn't remember Zedd himself, but I remembered the set they had with the red lights and the slowly spinning fans.
Yeah, the fan. Yeah, yeah. Cool. That's weird.
So I guess big fans are more memorable than Lord Zedd himself.
That's interesting, because he's a skinless man. You would think you would remember that, but...
Nope.
Okay, fair enough. Well,
And, you know, being a kid at that time also had a bunch of Power Rangers toys and all that.
Cool, yeah.
Transforming toys are cool.
They are cool. Yep. I had a bunch of Transformers, and I'd never watched Transformers, so there you go. They're pretty cool. Unfortunately... We shouldn't do too much toy talk because our resident spends too much money on toys guy, is not here today. But
he spends so much money on toys too. Oh my God.
You know, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, sure.
So let's move on. We have a very quick, Morpha news nimble today. Not much Power Rangers news. I'm actually, since they dropped the Power Rangers, suit stuff for the new movie, which it was like 5 or 6 weeks ago at this point, there's been basically nothing about the movie that's come out, which they have.
There is one thing. There is one wonderful piece of news.
Yep.
Oh, you're right.
Max Landis successfully got his name removed from the script.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
And the fact that Max Landis wanted his name removed from the final script makes me feel a little bit more confident about the film.
Did we talk?
Should I know who Max Landis is?
Max Landis, I was going to ask if we've actually specifically talked about him before. I can't remember if we have. So Max Landis is a guy, he's the guy who wrote and, wrote Chronicle, the like weird teens get superpowers found footage movie.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good. And then, but also like super dark in tone. And then made a couple other, wrote for a couple other movies, and that aren't great. But mostly he's known because he's kind of a jerk on Twitter. Like, that's the biggest thing he's known for.
What a marvelous thing to be known for.
Didn't he?
He's the Phil Fish of movie writers.
He has written some comic books, yeah. But yeah, he is mostly known for, like, when the new Star Wars came out, he called, Rey a Mary Sue, that was like the big thing, that got started because of him. Just a bunch of like weird.
I think when the sort of Hollywood whitewashing controversy, hey, topical to this episode of the show, started coming out earlier this year, Max Landis was one of the big ones that came out and said like, hey, that's just smart marketing, you know? Like, it's good business sense to
only use white people. The worst thing you could say about that topic. You could defend it by saying less awful things, but
Yeah. So he's just kind of it's a controversial figure. And his name had been attached to the script, which was giving a lot of people some, because a lot of his work is very dark. That's the thing, is it's not, super, matching up with this show. But he apparently he tweeted like a week ago that he had his name removed from the script, which presumably means he did not like the script, which, if you're reading into it, basically means that it's probably different enough from what he wanted that he didn't want his name on it. So, that could be good. It could be bad, but I'm going to hope good.
Well, here's the thing. Even if the movie ends up bad, the fact that Max Landis doesn't like it is a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, he posted like 2 pages from the script he wrote and that shit looked just awful. So
I didn't read those, but I saw people summarize them and it sounded like something you would make a joke about.
Basically, in his version, Zach was the Pink Ranger, and it was played for jokes, because...
Yeah, that's stupid.
A guy can't be pink, right? Like, that would be terrible. So that's probably good news, I'm gonna go with. that's the only thing really that's come out about it. It's weird, a little weird, because before that, they were releasing stuff at kind of a clip. So, maybe the next thing we get is a trailer? I don't know.
Yeah, they're probably shooting the movie now. And my bet is that, like, they're shooting all the practical stuff, and eventually they're gonna put in, like, CG and stuff, and they're gonna hire voice actors, and maybe shoot, you know, civilian scenes, whereas they're starting with the action scenes or something, so we're gonna get casting for, like, you know, Ernie and Mr. Kaplan and, you sure. know, CG characters like Goldar.
If he's actually going to fingers crossed. In the movie.
Sorry, Lau, what was that?
I just think if those characters are actually going to be in the movie.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. But, so that's kind of it for the movie news. The other, like, tangentially Power Rangers related thing is that a new Voltron series is now available on Netflix. And it's pretty good. I watched the first couple with my wife, and we both really liked it. So, like, you know, if you like this show, it's five color-coded teenagers in giant robots that...
Yeah.
Turn into a bigger giant robot.
Also, unlike this show, it's actually good.
Well, yeah. Damn. Also, it's competently written.
Why don't you go get on a Voltron podcast?
Power Rangers has a very variable level of quality.
Yes, it has its charm, but yeah.
But I bet if you went back and watched old Voltron from the 80s, you would have not less nice things to say about it, let's say.
No, but this
probably I've never watched any of the old Voltron.
Yeah, but this current one is very modern. I think some of the team behind Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra worked on it. So it's really good. You should check it out if you like that kind of stuff. That's it for Morphin Newsnimal this week. So why don't we talk about this episode?
I kind of have something I want to bring up before we go into the episode.
Good.
A couple of episodes ago, you had a question about what characters the Power Rangers would play in Street Fighter. And I said in that question, I just want to call out two things.
Okay.
One, Billy would not play Fang because no Power Rangers would ever pick a bad guy.
I thought about that, actually. But I thought that the science motif with Billy is strong enough to override that because it's purely within the realm of fantasy.
Sure, whatever. The other one, is while you could argue that Tommy is the most like Dan, I don't think Tommy has the sense of humor or self-awareness to actually pick Dan.
That's true. So,
that was answering a different question, but I don't care enough to actually talk about it beyond that. I just
that's a really good point.
Who do you think is a better answer for Tommy would play?
I guess.
Yeah.
Jason is just boring karate man, so he would obviously be Ru.
Yeah, so Tommy would kind of be...
So Tommy has to be Ken.
Ken by
because
default.
Because he's basically... Yeah.
No,
or you know, Akuma, because...
No, you agree. Didn't you agree that because of racism, Zack is DJ?
Yeah.
I didn't agree to that. Fucking these assholes came up with that shit.
How so many of our explanations for what's going on in Power Rangers and for what characters in Power Rangers would do just boils down to because racism.
Well,
I mean, this is the perfect episode for this.
Yeah.
We're kind of dancing around it.
Yeah, like, let's
talk
about it.
Can we just not talk about this episode? Can we
no,
just
no, we can't.
One?
We can't.
Let's talk about
I
it
have
because...
actual things to say about this episode.
Yeah, it's, there's, there will be discussion, but
first
yeah.
First off, why the hell are they doing this thing in this place?
Yeah, okay, hold on. So this is episode 48, Plague of the Mantis, and as Lau says, Trini and her master, who I don't even think it's a name, does he?
No, he does.
Master Lee, which is the most cliched
because, you know, it opens with ding 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 ding, and Master Lee are dressed like Bruce Lee, and they're doing, like, kung fu moves.
Now,
God, just before we get into it, because we tend to rewatch this show with subtitles and everything, so we end up not talking about the musical cues all that often. All throughout the episode, in every scene, and it goes with whatever the instrumentation at the time is. So if it's a Bulk and Skull scene, we get the Bulk and Skull instruments. If it's a fight scene, we get the guitars, whatever. All throughout the score for this episode, the music just goes ding 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 over and over and over, and it is so uncomfortable.
Yep.
So I have a couple things to say. First of all, as Lau says, they are practicing kung fu in the middle of the fucking juice bar.
Yep.
Like,
do they not have multiple rooms in this gym and juice bar?
I mean, the kung fu economy is pretty rough in the early 90s in California. Presumably, Trini is the only student of Master Lee, and he couldn't afford to rent a space for himself.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, I accept that Jason teaches kids, you know, like, beginner level karate in the juice bar, but this is weird. Like, I don't understand, other than just because we didn't want to get another set, why they would be
this
here.
This is not a dojo. This is a gymnasium.
It's not even a room that he rented in the juice bar. It's right it's in the middle in of the floor gym with the exercise bikes.
Yeah, and it's not like... The other thing...
The rest of the Rangers are sitting at a table doing homework.
Yeah. The other thing that would be okay is if she was just, like, practicing these moves on her own. But this is a class... and it's just weird.
Also, I know this is, like, standard practice for the people the Rangers know who aren't other Rangers, but despite the fact that this is apparently, like, her master or sensei or whatever, like, we have never seen this guy before.
Yeah.
And we will never see him again.
Yeah. Okay, so the other thing is, the way in which they show that Trini is struggling is just that she's kind of watching him the whole time.
Yeah.
While she's doing the moves. And then she'll, like...
She lags a little bit behind him, like, yeah. She's learning. Yeah.
And also she makes a I am having a hard time face, and because she's not the best actress alive, it's just really goofy looking. And, yeah, this whole scene is very, it's a little tough to watch. And then it gets worse because they stop and her master asks her, Trini, what is the most honorable tradition of kung fu?
They talk about honor so much in this episode. Again, it's really
uncomfortable. I don't think they understand what honor is.
No, and also
at least I didn't after watching this episode.
They have the one Asian character talk about honor over and over again. Honor this, honor that. We need to talk about what Trini and her master look like right now.
So they are wearing if you Google kung fu outfit, that is what you will find. It's like a black outfit with those white I guess they're those white like ties to hold it closed.
And as far as what Master Lee looks like in his facial hair and his haircut, Google image search Kung Fu Man and you'll get it.
Yep. Kung Fu Man, yeah.
Any Kung Fu Master mention, that doesn't have white hair and beard is going to look like this.
Just because you mentioned it, I just now Googled Kung Fu outfit, and the very first result has a guy wearing, you know, that outfit, but also one of those
hats. Yep.
That's just amazing.
Clearly missed opportunity that we didn't get one of those weird fucking symbol hats.
So here's the thing about everything with this. Like, first of all, the honor stuff. But also, the thing that bugs me most about this is the...
Haha, bugs you.
We'll get to that. But the thing that bugs me most about this is just the mashup of all Asian things.
Yep.
In this episode, where they're learning mantis style kung fu, which is a Shaolin, specifically a Shaolin style kung fu art.
Yeah.
Except that they just call it kung fu. They ascribe like specific. They talk about how like. The mantis style requires you to fight your opponent one-on-one, but that isn't how styles work. Like, they are basically talking about a Shaolin style, which is inherently a, like, Buddhist monk tradition, and then talking about it as if it has its own, like, it's just very weird. It's all mixed up, and it comes across as, like, kind of, I'm not gonna say, like, like capital R racist, but just really,
the term you're looking for is culturally insensitive.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, you know, not to, like, beat a dead horse or anything, but, like, the at least the actress who plays Trini is actually Vietnamese, not Chinese or Japanese or, you know, different countries, different cultures.
Yeah, and also Lee is typically a Japanese name, right? I think
it's Chinese. I could be or okay. Hong Kongian. I know. I mean, there's eggshells right here, but yeah.
I could be wrong.
Look on the bright side. If we were set to write a script for a TV show, we'd spend 5 minutes on Google figuring that shit out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
yes.
And to be fair, they didn't have Google, but again, they're just kind of equating all Asian things as the same. And it's, So, in any case, she says, like, yeah, the most important thing about Kung Fu is the tradition of the fair fight and, always face your opponent with equal numbers.
Hold on.
Mike, my fist fight with that baby was completely honorable. You faced him with equal numbers.
Yeah, there was one baby and one mat, and it was totally fine.
But also just, I don't think there's really any, like, martial arts style where the rule is, like, only use this if you got equal numbers.
I've seen a bunch of kung fu movies and the bad guy is always dueling the good guys one-on-one and, like, just murdering them, and he's always the guy who doesn't have honor, and so that's clearly not the rule.
Well, and again, it's just that thing where they're, like, conflating, like, the practicality of a style with, like, some kind of ethos, and it's just weird. Also, he brought a mantis with him.
Yep.
He says, now to help you master the praying mantis style, I have brought along this.
And like I said, the guy can't afford to rent a dojo, and he would have that, like, on the counter or mantle, like, in his dojo, and he just has to carry it around with him wherever he goes to teach kung fu now.
Also, yeah. I'd like to point out that he just shoves it in Trini's bag.
He gives it to her.
He tells her to study it by showing it to her for, like, I don't know, 5 seconds?
Yep.
And then he puts it in her bag, and he says the mantis is always, is peaceful, but always ready for a fight, which,
How would you observe the fight when it's just locked in this tiny cage? I mean, feed it live insect.
Also, mantises are predators, so they would just hunt and murder everything they see, actually, so.
Yeah, I have this note right here that says mantises kill things, actually.
The mantis is basically like a crocodile. It sits around and looks peaceful, but it's waiting for things to kill.
But yeah, he's telling Trini to just, you know, try and be like the mantis. Get yourself a man, mate, eat his head, you know?
Yeah. So then we go over to Ernie, who is making like an ice cream sundae and hands it to Skull, and Bulk and Skull are sitting there.
Is that what that is? I thought it was just like a cup of whipped cream.
Well,
that's
what
it actually
is. But now we get Bulk and Skull's plan for the episode, and I'm starting to get really frustrated with Bulk and Skull's plans because they make less and less sense as we go along. Bulk says that what they're going to do is they're going to emulate a bug, just any bug, doesn't matter, and they're going to charge people for them to teach them how to emulate a bug.
Well, so no, it's worse than that.
Specifically, says they could get the Major Moolah.
Yes. Well,
if Bulk's we can find idea, a bug to imitate, then we can charge people the Major Moolah to
Yeah.
Well, the idea is that, like, oh, hey, this is a martial art based on a bug. Clearly, the key to inventing our own martial art is to just impersonate a bug.
Yeah. It's obviously really goofy. We'll see what they do with it later, but.
Yeah, and, you know, there's the whole aspect where they see this thing that is, you know, a cultural thing from wherever the writers think it's from, but it's actually, you know, China. And they go, huh, this is dumb. We can totally, like, do the same thing and make money off of this. And this is like, wow, you just, like, encapsulated cultural appropriation. And, like those American, like, dojo masters that popped up in the 70s to cash in on the kung fu movie craze and said, we'll teach you karate and, like, just make up their own shit. And
I mean, Bulk and Skull are idiots. So, yeah. like, that, in that aspect, yeah. it's fine, but combined with everything else in this episode, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's the thing, like, very clearly what Bulk and Skull are doing is stupid and wrong, and the show makes that clear, but what they're doing is not really all that different from the writers of the show are doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, Skull spills his milkshake all over Bulk because, of course, he does.
While doing kung fu moves.
So. Oh my god, is that...
I think it's funny that the subtitles for Skull here say karate yell.
Yeah, yes, you get a lot of
when they were just talking about kung fu.
Yes, oh yeah, good point.
It's
yeah.
basically a microcosm of the way Sentai was adapted into Power Rangers, and I think about it. Just this thing from Asia. Oh, we can totally make it our own. Just, like, change these, shoot this footage right here, and sell it to people for major moolah.
That's true, that basically is what this show is.
Yeah.
fair enough. So, Rita is looking at, Trini and says, oh, how cute, she wants to do Asian kung fu. Or, I'm sorry, that's not what she says.
What if it was? Look, Rita Repulsa, casual racist.
She says, oh, how cute, she wants to do mantis kung fu. My bad, sorry. And so, of course, let's make a mantis monster. Duh. Like,
you know what? I had a thought during this episode. Do you think that the Rangers at any point catch on to the fact that Rita's monsters are always thematically similar to whatever it is they're doing?
Absolutely not. No.
I'd say the same thing as I said earlier about Tommy. They don't have that amount of self-awareness.
No,
I would love for them to try to start manipulating that, like, let's have a pillow fight until she sends us a pillow monster or something.
Let's all sit in beanbag chairs and have Jello. Like,
gee,
yeah.
It sure would suck if Rita sent down a monster made of all of our personal favorite ice cream flavors.
Yeah. You see, I'm just sitting here imagining them hanging out near a gasoline depot, so Rita sends a gasoline monster at them, and they throw one lit match at it, and it just bursts into flames and dies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they inadvertently solved the fuel crisis.
Yeah. Oh, that too. We can do that as well.
So this is, it's just goofy, and of course she's sending a mantis. Like, yeah, duh. They cut back down to the,
Hold on. When they get to Finster talking, then he says, with this mantis monster, blah, blah, blah. The clay figure he has in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
Is clearly not the mantis monster.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, this is the same shot they use over and over again for this.
It's been a while since I've watched other episodes of Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's fair. But yes,
But I did watch
it. It's like Michelangelo. Like, the mantis is already present within the clay. He just has to carve it out of the little action figure with spikes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So they cut down to the Jim and Juice bar and, Zach is like, oh man, we really have, you know, she's really trying hard and she's getting good. And, Jason has this weird line where he's like, oh, we might all have to learn praying mantis technique if this keeps up. And it's like, okay, that was kind of a shitty thing to say, Jason. Like,
look, as far as Jason's concerned, specifically, the only martial art is karate.
If they want to keep up with her.
That's true, yeah.
Is that a
bad
thing to say?
No, I mean, you're right. The line is written is, oh, like, she's getting good and we're gonna fall behind. The way he says it, though, made me feel like he was being jealous.
Now I'm just imagining Jason confronting Trini and being like, well, how's mantis-style kung fu supposed to stop wood? And she's like, what?
Yeah. I thought he was just going to be really dismissive of it. You know, like, that's not karate.
Yeah,
that's I bet Jason would be way into termite style.
So we cut back over to them, or to Trini and Master Lee, and she's just like, it's really hard! And he's like, you can do it, come on.
But it's not really explicitly clear what she's having difficulty with.
No, they don't ever say, like, it's a mental block or a physical block. Like, they don't give you anything to go off of.
She just hasn't looked at this mantis enough yet.
Yeah,
she has to do...
Trini just confidently says it's so hard.
So she can do good at the end of the episode, because that's how stories work.
Yeah. And so she takes this mantis over to her buddies, and I'm actually impressed that they keep
bringing a character trait of Zach's.
That Zach doesn't like bugs. Yep. Like, because that's the kind of thing that you would think would come up in one episode and never get mentioned again.
Yep.
Like, you know, Billy not liking fish or whatever, but yeah.
How low of a bar are we setting that that's impressive?
I'm impressed for this show that they remember that Zach is not
they remember
to
the
like
character
bugs.
Trait that started as a racial stereotype too. So there's, you go. There, put that on your racist bingo card.
Wait, what?
Is that a racial stereotype?
Black people not liking bugs, that's a thing, right?
I've never heard of it.
No,
Now I'm the racist. I'm so sorry, guys.
That is, trust me, I know a lot of racial stereotypes. That's not one.
It's not
that's
one of them?
One.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Maybe it is in Canada. I don't know, but I've never heard that one
before. I feel
before.
That's a thing that I've seen in bad movies that have, like, really shallow characters.
I mean...
I think that's more of just a bad movie thing. Than a thing.
Maybe. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Sorry, I hope I haven't heard of it.
There's nothing to apologize for.
I was just
going to
roll with
confusing.
It, but I haven't heard of that one.
So,
can we just make up new racial stereotypes? Just
yeah,
see
you can,
if anyone
actually.
Calls us on it?
Yeah.
Blue people have mustaches.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of blue people, Zach hands the bug to Billy, who says... an example of mantis religiosa. Fuck
I was sure that was a fake term, but I looked it up and it's actually...
Wait, what?
I did the same thing. I was like, there's no way that's actually the scientific name for a praying mantis.
It's a European mantis.
I'm
that's
so mad.
That's actually a real name.
I 100% assumed that was bullshit.
No, that's...
Yeah,
totally
so did
valid.
I. That's why I googled it.
Yep. Oh, okay. I was going to say, fuck you, Billy. You just made that up, but holy shit. Okay. I didn't realize there was actually... I thought praying mantis was, like, the common name. I didn't know there
well,
was...
Well, it is.
Okay, you're right. European mantis.
A lot of the times with scientific names, like, if the common name for the animal has been around longer than, like, the practice of scientific names, like, they will just somehow try and link it to a common name to the animal a lot of the time.
Okay, fair enough. So. You got me, Billy. One for one Billy. Yeah, they say, like, okay, I have to study it for my next kung fu lesson, Trini says. And Jason says, but why did you choose to learn this new kung fu? And
here we go.
Yeah, and, Trini is like, it's because it emphasizes fairness, the honor of playing fair and never cheating in a competition. Okay.
It's never cheating really that hard.
Also, this kung fu style has no, like, fucking... I mean, okay, if someone out there is a kung fu person and, like, you want to correct me, please write in. But as far as I know, it's a style that's linked with Shaolin, which has its own tenets. But, like, the style itself doesn't have... It's just so weird. I don't understand why they keep beating this and like.
Also, I have a very hard time buying that one of the tenets of a martial art is don't cheat.
Well, like, you know, there's a
like you're trying to defend yourself, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like
yeah.
So, I don't.
Also, as we'll see later in the episode, what defines honor gets really, really vague.
Yeah, for sure. So. At this point,
like something vague in Power Rangers.
Yeah,
I know, right? Never thought that would happen.
It's honor as bullshit, like Asian culture currency that we see in fiction.
Yeah.
Like it means whatever we need it to mean right now. Because fuck it, it's honor.
So at this point, Balk and Skull walk in, and okay, this is the same day that they decided to do this, right?
Yep.
I think so.
It has to be, because like Trini just finished her lesson, and she walked over to the guys, and I guess they ran home, made themselves these uniforms, came back.
They made themselves geese with cockroaches on them in 20 minutes. That's pretty impressive.
Well, also, like,
they have helmets
in this part, right?
Yes, they have helmets with wiggly, like, cockroach antenna on them. And
like dingleberries.
Wait,
on
wait, do cockroaches have antenna?
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
yeah.
And And they have
we don't have a lot of cockroaches here.
Oh, we...
Okay, yeah, I look... You know,
yeah, we do. I live in South Carolina, and, yeah, we got a bunch of them. Some of them fly. So...
Also, I just noticed Skullsky has a question mark on it.
Yep, he's staying on brand.
Oh my god, yes. So the... Yeah, so this, they come in and they have these black geese with, karate, or with, cockroaches on them. Skulls has a question mark, which is great. And they have these, like, motorcycle helmets? They don't look,
they look more like old timey, like, leatherhead full football helmets.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
With antenna on them. And they say.
Also balls at the end of the antennas.
Yes. And they're like, hey, we're the, what do they say? Like, you're looking at the newest and only masters of the mystical cockroach, kung fu. And then they pull out, they have like a jar of cockroaches because of course they do.
They just had that lying around though. They didn't have to go and catch cockroaches.
Yeah. Zach is like, oh god. Well,
I'm pretty sure they collect bugs. Like that's established, right?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
They had the flea circus at one point.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're like, you know, Skull does a bunch of karate moves, while holding the jar. And also he like goes up to Kimberly and like puts his arms around her and asks, do you want to date a cockroach foo master, babe? Which is, Trini almost gets like all up in his face because she's like, there's no such thing as cockroach kung fu Skull. And I wish she was like, hey, stop being racist. But no, not quite. And then Bulk is just like, there is now. And then
fucking thing they do.
And then they do a weird, like, interpretive cockroach dance. I don't really know how to describe it. They emulate cockroach really movements for a little while. They, like, scuttle back and forth.
Yep.
It's really silly.
It's basically the only, like, good part of this episode is Vulcan Skull's fucking weird cockroach impersonation.
And the Rangers just lie. They're just like, we have to go to the library. Goodbye. They're not.
No, the Rangers are goody goods. They're probably actually going to the library.
What? Yeah. Why? Wait, they just had, I mean, it was math homework. Wouldn't they have a textbook that has all the information they would need?
No, they gotta do math research. They gotta go to the library.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I see. At the library.
They have to solve, like, Fermat's last theorem there. Yeah. And,
so they book it. And we quickly. Oh God damn it!
Jesus,
are you sure you're not doing those?
The disease is in you, Zach.
Yeah, Joel's not here, so I had to do it. So they cut to the command center briefly, and they're like, "Oh, some weird thing is in the park," and Zordon's like, "Ah, oh, Trini's there. I'll have her go check it out." So. We cut to Trini, who is doing her kung fu in the park, still in her kung fu outfit. And, she gets a call from Zordon, who says, like,
hold,
hey,
hold
you
on,
know.
Hold on.
Okay,
hold on.
Sorry.
While she's training and, you know, doing the kung fu move, there are all these whooshing sounds that they also use when they're fighting.
But yes!
It seems, I mean, it also had it earlier, but it seems really out of place.
Yeah, they are doing the, like, the kick, you know, fake kick noises and stuff, except that she's just, like, kind of slowly moving back and forth. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So.
And it does that throughout the episode.
Yes, every time she's practicing this stuff. Zordon calls her and says, like, hey, there's this weird energy source in the park. You should go check it out. So she walks 8 feet in this, like, as previously established, never-endingly huge park.
Yep.
And...
and what is she looking for? Energy. Yeah, just, let's find some energy.
Yeah,
here.
Let's just look for stuff. Anything weird. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, she sees, the Manus monster teleports down, and she contacts Zordon and is like, hey, monster, found it, did it, good job, me. go ahead.
If only that was the tone they used.
Yeah, this pisses me off probably more than anything else in this episode.
Okay.
So, Trini sees the Mantis monster, and she says, I've got to morph, when she morphs. She does not say it's morphin' time.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, shit.
Every other ranger, if Jason's not around, they've gotten a chance to say it's morphing time. Trini doesn't get to say it's morphing time, and that pisses me off so much.
I mean, she could have. She just doesn't. Yeah, that's upsetting. You're right. Good point.
I guess on the plus side, Trini's just like, nah, we're not fucking doing this today. And just morphs immediately.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't even try and fight it.
Go ahead.
When she morphs, I mean, then it switches to Japanese footage.
Yep.
And I mean, I guess the park was the closest thing they had, but in the Japanese footage, they're clearly in a proper-ass forest.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very clearly not the same place as it often is when they do this.
I mean, it's obviously not the same place, but not even the same kind of place.
Yeah.
No.
The other thing...
I mean, it's, you know, it's in Japan and not California. I mean, okay. That's two very different kinds of places.
I kept meaning to mention this, but it is a little weird to me that even though they ordered new footage for these episodes, it's still, like, that really bad quality of film, so it's still obvious, like, it still becomes blurry as hell as soon as they go over to the Japanese footage. But anyway, so, yeah, So
Trini morphs and then just kind of does kung fu moves for a while.
Yeah, she just does some katas.
Yeah.
The Manus monster is like, oh, you challenge me to single combat? And they keep stressing this point, and I don't understand why. It's just so weird.
Here it's even weirder. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but are you asking me for a challenge?
Yes! Good. Thank you. I fucking Homestar Runner. If you don't know what that was, look that shit up. Anyway.
2066!
1936. But in this, I completely lost my train of thought. I was gonna say fuck you, but I'm fine with anybody interrupting my train of thought for Homestar Runner. That's how it works.
Okay, well, go ahead.
So what happens here is the monster simultaneously says, don't fight me solo, because I'll kill you, but fight me solo, because if you don't, you have no honor. And I'm thinking here, and I'm like, this is some creation paradox bullshit right here.
This makes me so frustrated because this episode makes out Trini to be a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Like, just...
Yeah. Well, as every episode does.
Joel's not
I
here.
Don't think most episodes care enough about Trini to call her.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying, like, every episode makes all of the Rangers out to be morons.
That's true, but
like,
this
that's
one...
That's not specifically Trini.
But the thing is, most of the time... let me get this out so I don't forget. Most of the time when we are saying the Rangers are stupid, it's because they aren't doing something that seems obvious to us, right? It's like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? It would make it easier. In this specific case, she actively chooses to... later. She actively chooses to fight this thing single combat and trust a literal monster sent by Rita, who she knows is evil and lies constantly. It's just, it's really frustrating to me that she goes along with this stuff.
Yeah. So, do you think that when the Toei folks making new footage for this, like, clearly because they're making new footage specifically for Power Rangers, they're probably taking into account the American characters when they're making it? Do you think on some level they went, okay, she's the one Asian character, so she's going to fight a mantis and do a whole bunch of karate moves?
Because
that's what Americans think Asian people are.
Okay, this is too many layers. Hold on. So you think that the Japanese crew made a racist episode about the Asian character because they think white people are racist? That's where
I think they did it because they know white people are racist.
That's a lot of layers. Okay.
And also, the Japanese can be racist against the Chinese.
Yeah, that. A little bit.
And the thing is, also, it's clearly meant to be that because you see the Yellow Ranger in the Japanese footage doing like that Mantis style hand thing while like facing the Mantis. So clearly they were going for a Mantis monster, Mantis style Kung Fu. And that's what they started with. But yeah.
I mean, you're right. I didn't even really think about it, but you're right. That's definitely what they did. So.
Like they had the Blue Ranger coming up with the cure for the flea monster in a couple episodes back. Like, I think with this footage, they started taking into account, okay, well, what are these Rangers in the American show?
Yeah. Yeah. So her buddies show up, the other Rangers show, and Jason gets knocked around, and Trini's like, Jason, be careful of his kung fu!
And the next thing that happens is the Mantis just teleporting like 3 times in a row, and that just makes me think of Mortal Kombat. So that's like, careful of that kung fu, and also make sure you don't get frozen or like grabbed by his spear thing.
Yeah,
goes, get over here.
Yeah, and he teleports away, and he's like, you have no honor, goodbye, and he just pieces out.
Yeah, and at this point, I just have written. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was gonna say, also during this fight scene, he just destroys a bunch of trees.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like, we would have established that his like mantis hands are razor sharp, so we just cut some trees.
Yeah.
Yep. Also, when they cut to showing a tree being cut, it's clearly cut already.
Yeah.
I
mean, obviously, that's the sort of quality you expect from Power Rangers.
Yeah.
What
were you gonna say, Matt?
Oh, I was just gonna say, I have just written down here, what the hell is with this honor shit? Because this is where it really starts to just get egregiously stupid.
Yeah, yep. And she says, like, he's right, I'll have to fight him alone next time. Fucking why? And
no.
And they,
no, you don't.
And they cut up to the moon.
Asian racism.
Yeah.
They cut
up to the moon, and Trini's like, or I'm sorry, Rita is like, the Mantis has shamed her. She'll have to fight him alone next time. And I just, what is happening? Why is this happening? It's really frustrating.
It's frustrating and uncomfortable. It is the 1-2 punch of like, oh, and like, I'm not going to pretend that we like are experts on racism.
Oh, God, no.
We're a bunch of fucking white dudes chatting.
Already demonstrated earlier this episode that we know fucking nothing about racism. So.
Fuck, we don't even know anything about
specifically that I know nothing about racism.
But
know anything about our own goddamn country.
Yeah, there you go.
But the thing is, like, as ignorant and uninformed as we are, this episode of Power Rangers makes us really uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, that kind of tells you how bad it is.
Yeah. So there is a quick on the moon. There's a quick good joke that I like, which is that Finster is like, "What a brilliant plan, Rita, or your Empress." And Squawk goes, "And Babu called it dumb, right, Babu?" And it cuts over to Babu, and he's just like, "A hum and a hum and a hum."
Yeah, he goes literally goes hum and a hum and a hum and a. Just like, what is going on?
It comes out of nowhere, but it made me laugh.
Yeah,
so fuck
it made me laugh too. They cut down to the command center, and the Rangers are trying to be like, Trini, it's fine that you called us. Like, that's not a problem.
Like, they straight up say, like, it's an evil monster. You don't, like, honor doesn't factor into it. We can just fight the guy.
She's like, but wouldn't it have been more honorable to face him alone? And Zach's like, it's a fucking monster. Sorry, go ahead.
Specifically, it's a bug monster.
Yeah.
I knew guys who came back from Iraq all the time, and they'd be like, man, I really wish I'd gotten the chance just to 1v1 fist fight all those insurgents.
Yeah, really? I wish I could just punch battle them. Yeah, no, it's really silly, and...
Oh, man, I just realized this monster's evil plan is basically 1v1 me, bro.
Yes, yeah. So Zordon asks for the information on the Mantis. They put it up on the viewing globe. And, yep, he's an expert in praying mantis kung fu. Weird. And then Billy says he challenged Trini because she's the expert. She just started! She's not an expert in praying mantis kung fu.
She's a Power Ranger. She's instantly an expert.
Yeah.
Really, really, he should be attacking Master Li.
Yeah, that would be good. I would watch that. And then Kimberly says, if he takes her out, he'll easily defeat us because we don't know praying mantis kung fu. And I don't, this is...
Shoot him with guns.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have, like, praying mantis style is not necessary to defeat praying mantis style. You can just shoot a kung fu master and they will die.
Yeah, like, MMA has proved you don't have to, like, you...
If, you don't have to use the same, like, style that the other person
if someone
is.
Muay Thai...
I really like in MMA when someone enters the ring and pulls out a gun and shoots the other person. That's a great martial art. That's the striker style.
Yeah, gun kata.
Yep.
Striker is probably the best character. I mean, let's be real. But like, how much is this eating Jason up inside to see all the other Rangers going like, oh no, Trini's the best, like, you know, martial artist in the group here. If she gets taken out, we're fucked.
Clearly this is a lot of race stuff, but do you think part of it was they were trying to give her a fucking personality trait and they couldn't? They were just like, I don't know. Maybe
when they just came up with Asian.
It's just really unfortunate because all the Trini-centric episodes have one or it's one of two things. Either she's involved in some kind of political cause and drags everyone into it, or she's being taught martial arts by an older Asian.
I would rather it be the political thing, by a lot, to be honest with you.
Because at least that isn't a stereotype.
And Lao, you're right. The personality trait they came up with was Asian. Good point. So, yeah, it's just, oh boy. So she says she's going to practice harder so that the next time he shows up, she can kick his butt. And, okay, sure. So we cut to the gym and juice bar and she's doing some more praying mantis kung fu. Oh boy. So they cut to the moon. They talk about trying to get Trini away from everybody else.
So they teleport a note to the gym and juice bar.
Yes. So when I first saw this, I missed that. We've talked about before about how if you look away in the show because the pace is so quick, you'll miss stuff. They teleport a note to the juice bar that is fake, a fake note from Master Li that says, like, come meet me in the fucking woods or whatever.
Yep. Quarry.
Rock quarry. I think they even specifically say it's a quarry.
But I missed that, so I thought, like, Squat just rolled up to the juice bar and dropped that note off and then left. And I'm kind of...
That would have been way better.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that's not what happened.
But, like, the basic setup is a couple of random, like, juice bar goers are like, okay, thanks for the meal, bye, Ernie. And then he takes out, like, a busing tray and starts cleaning up. And then just on the counter while he's looking away, a note just poof, there it is.
Yep.
He's like, oh, a note for Trini. Hey, Trini, come over here. I just had a note materialize in front of me for you.
He said poof, there it is, and now whoop, there it is. It's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
You know what, Zach? You're welcome.
Oh, good. So Ernie is like, hey, Trini, somebody left a note for you. Here you go. And she opens it, and she doesn't read it out loud, which is unusual for this show, and she just leaves.
Yep.
Then we cut back to Balkan Skull. They're staring at these cockroaches, and they're like, okay, so what do we do exactly? Which is fair, because they really haven't figured their plan out exactly.
Nope.
But they totally showed off their moves, though.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. So he says, do what they do, Skull. And so there's this wonderful zoom in of Bulk holding the jar while, like, making a weird face and, like, trying to... I don't even know what he's doing exactly, but it's
He's doing, like, a pincer with his other hand.
Yeah.
And he goes... Yeah. Or something.
See the roach. Yep. Be the roach.
And then we cut back to Skull in a really good joke, and he is upside down on the ground twitching.
Yep.
and he's like, no, the live one's idiot.
That's pretty good.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So Trini, has followed, the mantis monster, or I'm sorry, no, she went to the rock quarry, which is what her note said to do. And the mantis monster shows up.
Yeah. And like straight away, that should be, okay, left me a fake note from my master to drag me into a trap here. Honor is over at this point, right?
Yes.
Just like, just fucking kill him.
She's like, I believe in honor, but, and she does say like, I believe in honor, but you can't be trusted. You're one of Rita's monsters or whatever.
And then she does the honor shit anyway.
Yeah. And then he fucking tricks her and he's like, I give you my word. It's a kung fu master. You must accept my challenge.
I want to see this Mantis Monster's credentials as a kung fu master.
You want to see his badge?
Yeah. I want his fucking papers, all right? Yeah. I don't buy this shit.
Yeah. They, you know, she decides to fight him, I guess, and they cut back to the Gym and Juice Bar. Ernie shows the other Rangers the note. They see, oh, it's from her master Lee, and they run off to go find her. So we cut back to the quarry, and Trini is morphed, which they didn't show. She just morphs, I guess, off screen. And the monster's like, you have decided to face me after all. Ha ha ha. And there's
a lot of posing and posturing and the Yellow Ranger doing a lot more like just the moves, which again feeds into my belief that this was intentional on the part of of Toei to be like, this is the Asian one. And Americans are stupid. Have her do kung fu.
And again, she's just like, I have honor. Apparently honor just means being a rube and like letting people trick you. but they fight for a while. It's actually an okay one-on-one monster fight. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, she like jumps and like stands on his claws for a brief moment while punching him in the face, and that's fun.
Yeah. They show the other Rangers like running to her, but they don't get there because oh no, putties. So we have a putty.
What's this really tall grass, or what is that?
I don't know.
They're in the savannah, which is part of the
the wild savannah. Yeah.
Right next to the
in Angel Grove
Park. As far as the actual set, like they're just in the California desert somewhere.
Yeah.
Hold on. And they quickly show the moon crew. And what the fuck is going? Why is Squad playing an accordion?
Well,
I missed that.
He just does that.
Oh yeah, he's doing
Finn's
that.
Playing a drum.
So in,
just, are they having a party?
They probably took a clip from that song that they sing in the Sentai.
Yeah, so there is a scene in the Sentai when Rita and her whole crew sing a song, and all of the Moon Crew are playing instruments, which doesn't come over because it's super goofy. But I don't know why they chose to show that in this episode. That's really
weird.
They
probably just took a clip.
I mean, they probably figured we're showing this for 2 seconds. No one will.
Yeah.
They are desperate
they
for
weren't
more
accounting
shots
for
of
Netflix.
Rita.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. They're just playing instruments. They're just chilling. They're having a good time. They're winning. It's, you know, whatever. The putty and monster fight goes on for a little bit longer. Is there really anything in here worth noting? I can't remember.
The lyrics to the song start go, 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 combat.
No, it's combat.
Yeah, but
is
there's
it?
Subtitles.
Yes, which I was really.
Yeah, I'm with Sagan with the lyrics.
I was really.
It's supposed to be combat.
Really hoping it was mortal combat, but unfortunately, no.
It's time to.
Basically.
I think the one thing worth pointing out is that the Mantis Monster summons a bunch of putties to fight Trini. And then
at some
point, all the other Rangers morph, and then they're there with Trini, and then all the putties are gone.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, so
where did the putties go?
They don't even beat the putties, they're just suddenly gone.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of questions here. One, why are the Rangers better at their jobs than Zordon? Because as soon as they find the note at the Gym and Juice Bar, they immediately realize something is fishy and go to help Trini.
Yeah, that's true. And Trini...
Two, where the fuck did the putties go? And, three... Now it's a fair fight, but they're still outnumbered. And also, where the fuck did the putties go around the mantis? Because they just vanish now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What the fuck happens?
And all her
here?
Friends teleport in and she says, "Now it's a fair fight." Except the putties are gone.
To be fair, let's be clear on what's happening here. So Trini is fighting this Mantis one-on-one for a while, and as far as she's concerned, like, this is an honorable fight. You know, like, this is what we have to do. And then the Mantis monster is like, oh, by the way, a shitload of putties, here we go. And she's just like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Rita's monster betrayed me?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And actually, the Mantis does say, you know what? Here's some newsflash, jackass. Like, I'm a fucking monster. I have no honor.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fucking murder you here right now.
Yeah. I would kill you if you're in your sleep if I could. Like, just, yeah. It's the... And her surprise...
It totally could, but it doesn't for some reason.
Yeah, and her surprise at this...
I mean, that goes for everything in this.
Yeah, they all... I mean, they know where they sleep. Rita knows where they live. It's weird. But, yeah, so they all...
So does Rita actually have some honor?
I think she's just too dumb to take advantage of her knowledge and...
Isn't that really the same
thing?
Yeah.
You're right. Fair enough. So they fight it for a while, and it grows big.
Yeah.
And let's...
Yeah, Rita fucking grows it, because of course
she
does.
And let's take a quick break and come back, and we'll finish the episode. So, the monster gets all big, and,
As monsters are wont to do.
Yeah.
I know you've talked about it in the past, but three of the Power Rangers come at the Mantis. The Mantis knocks down all of them, and then Rita yells, I've got them now, grow, Mantis, grow.
Like
it's a finishing move.
Yeah.
Shouldn't she realize by now that... That's when they're going to call in the swords?
It's funny because, there's actually an episode coming. I watched ahead a little bit. There's an episode a little bit down the line where Rita actually says something about, like, oh, now they're going to make the robot. So, like, at least she's, it seems like she's at least sort of figured out that they have some kind of trigger to when they make their big robot, but I still don't think she's quite nailed it down, which you would think that she would have figured it out at this point. But no, not quite. So, yeah, they make the Megazord, and my subtitles aren't on for some reason. There we go. Okay. So they make the Megazord. They do a standoff with the Mantis, which is cool. And then Jason is like, wait, what is this? What is the monster doing? It's not moving. And she says, Trini says the Mantis will concentrate his energies for a single blow. And they're like, and then she says, watch his footwork. And Jason's like, don't worry. We're ready for him. We can do this. We can take him. And then the Mantis jumps in the air and totally just nails the Megazord in the face.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Don't move out of the way or anything.
I mean, that's so what he meant when he said they can take him.
Yeah.
So my notes have written here, 1-1, watch the footwork / get shit slapped anyway.
Yeah. It's really funny.
It's like that one Kung Pao scene. Like, at this point, I had two options. A, I could duck out of the way and counter, and B, I could take it in the face and die. Damn, should have gone with A.
I'm surprised it took us this long to make a reference to Kung Pao, because like, that's kind of what I was thinking about the whole time.
Yeah. Haven't we already? I feel like we have.
In this
show.
Well,
I meant for this episode.
Yeah, right. So they actually summon the sword pretty early in this fight. They don't just use it for the finishing move, I guess because basically the Mantis' hands are swords, so it's not escalating, I guess. So they fight for a little while. It's a pretty good Megazord fight. We've kind of talked about how they're kind of lame, lately, and, you know, this one is still very slow compared to the out of suit fights, but, it's okay. There's a little more choreography going on than normal, I think.
Mm-hmm. There's a pretty cool, like, right before they start, right before that aforementioned, like, power shot thing. They have like a moment where they stand off against each other, and it's a still like side shot of the two of them. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah. They're yeah. really
wasn't
trying
for
to play
the fuck moving in that shot. I would have thought it was just a still frame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's cool.
They're but like right up until the end, they're trying to play up the whole like this is a kung fu battle
yes.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And also
except the Megazord can't move like well enough to do actual kung fu, so
right.
no,
Megazord style
really
is
can't.
Just kind of like lumber around and punch.
Yeah, you don't want to be a master of Megazord style. It's not an especially good kung fu art.
So what is the Megazord style's version of honor? Like wait until the last second to summon the sword? Like
yeah, exactly. Get beat up a bit before you call the sword and kill your opponent.
Yeah, you have to let them beat up on you first before you can murder them. Yeah, pretty much. So they cut up to the, you know, they beat the monster, they cut up to the moon, and Rita is beating them with her staff, which I don't, is this new?
This has happened before.
Okay,
yeah.
She's just wailing on them, moon crew, with her staff. They cut to the command center, and they're still like, you did a good job, Trini. Good job, like, fighting it one-on-one. It's not your fault that they fucking lied to you. And it's just,
furthermore, this is like Zordon, and it's like, who gives a fuck about honor? You need to tell her, like, look, you're fighting fucking monsters who are trying to kill people.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit about honor. Kill the fuckers and be done with it.
Zordon
Jesus
falls
Christ.
Praise to this too, because, if I recall correctly, he was the one who gave Rita a 2 out of 3 coin flip.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, yeah, he's falls prey to the same thing.
Again, like right at the end, as everyone's talking about, like, you know, how good of a job we did, Zach once again shows off his one, like, non-racist personality trait. And it's like, yeah, we showed Rita. We're not afraid of her big bug.
No, Simon established that the black people hate bugs.
I'm sorry. No. Wait, no. Don't put words into my mouth. I didn't say that. I said that I thought it was a stereotype that people thought that.
Okay.
That's different.
I can't believe you hate bugs. You're the real racist. I don't know.
So we cut down or cut over to the Jim and Juice bar again, and
they're watching the news, and it's the same.
Simon,
I'm telling you,
you're right. This is
I'm
the same
convinced
exact footage.
That there is only one clip of that newscaster talking, and they've reused it like 7 times by now.
I think you might.
I wouldn't
be
surprised
right.
if it's just stock footage, not even made for the show.
Because this is definitely the exact same sentence that he says last time.
Yeah, exactly, and it's a super generic. The Power Rangers have defeated one of Rita Repulsa's evil monsters, blah blah blah, and it's always the same thing.
They might be reusing this one. I'm still fairly convinced that there's more than one. I'm pretty sure we've seen him say two different things.
Let's all fight over it every time it happens and never go check to make sure.
That's hard to Google. We'd have to remember every episode where this clip appears and go check in the episode, and who has time for that?
Yeah.
Our listeners do, so figure it out for us, please. Put it out in spreadsheet form. That would be great.
She's practicing with Master Lee again, and she says... He says, like, hey, you know, great job. You're doing well. And she says, thanks. Practice makes perfect. And
Master Lee's, like, mullet is still driving me nuts.
It's a pretty good mullet.
It's a fantastic mullet. But,
now,
like, it's still a mullet.
Yeah. Now, Bulk and Skull are trying to sell their lessons.
for cockroach
kung fu.
Yeah.
Also, while this is something I just noticed,
you know what, cockroach kung fu would be a really great name for a ska band.
So while Bulk is like hawking this, Skull is standing behind him, and he is just idly doing that thing where you put your hands together, and you have one middle finger. Like back to back, and you have one middle finger on each side and wiggle them around. And it's kind of funny that he's just standing there doing this while Bulk is trying to sell lessons.
I really wish at this point Master Lee would go talk to these guys and say, you know, guys, first of all, like, this is my spot you're stealing. Second of all, this is racist as hell. Please stop doing that.
Yeah, that would have been really great if Master Lee was like, hey, fucking stop it.
Yep, yep.
But no, that doesn't happen.
He doesn't do that. He disappears.
I mean,
he's gone.
He's Trini's master. He can't talk to anyone besides Trini.
Yes, that's how it works. And Skull is like, hey, you know, take a sparring partner home, $20. And he's pointing at the jar of cockroaches.
Yep.
Ugh. It's gross.
Now, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in my ability to do pretty much anything, but I'm pretty sure I could beat a cockroach in a fight.
Yeah, well, yeah.
These things are, like, resilient as hell, man. You can squash them and they'll still run around. You can cut their heads off and they'll survive. It's fucked up.
Well, I mean, you could just crush them. Like, just fucking
yeah,
crush them.
I guess.
Like unless it's a who can survive a nuclear winter contest, I'm pretty sure I can beat a cockroach.
My cat.
I'll see if you let it go free, like, with the intent of killing it, it'll probably run away before you can catch it.
My cat likes to pull all the legs off one side of them so that they run in a circle until they die. Which is kind of fucked up.
Cats are so
Your cat's
man.
Awesome. Holy yeah. shit.
Yeah, so,
well, it's a cat.
Yeah. So, Bulk says,
so,
like,
hold on, quick, who would win? Bulk and Skull, Zach's cat.
Oh, my cat. Like, no question. Yeah.
The cat wouldn't even have to do anything. Bulk and Skull live in perpetual darkness. Like, yeah. They're gonna die sooner or later.
They would fall into a, they would fall into a cake somehow, like,
yep.
nearby. But, so, Bulk says we need some publicity, so they start doing, like, jokey kung fu on each other, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun.
And again, we got bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
Like, fucking goddamn it.
Yeah. But, you know, they do like a back and forth, but it's like to emulate the cockroach walk thing. And then, yeah. Bulk actually like flips Skull and then like picks him back up, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know,
well, something just clicked in my head. Speaking of racist musical cues, mm-hmm. how do they have this whole, like, cockroach kung fu sequence and not once does the music ever play La Cucaracha?
That's a good point. Yeah.
That is a good point.
They didn't have the rights. I don't know.
Does someone own the rights to La Cucaracha?
Probably. I mean, Happy Birthday was copyrighted until recently.
That's
so.
True.
Until those fuckers got taken down.
So then they say cockroach power and headbutt each other. And get, like, dizzy, which I don't understand that part. And then Bulk just runs at Skull and gets caught in the banner they have, and all the yep. cockroaches spill everywhere. And
yep.
And everyone left.
By the way, that's real nice for Ernie, because now he has a cockroach problem to deal with in his juice yeah. bar.
Well, they've been
also,
fucking...
I think this is the first time we've seen a Bulk and Skull pratfall that involves broken glass.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's not great. Also, but in fairness, they've been waving around this jar of cockroaches the whole fucking episode, and Ernie yep. hasn't said anything. So, yep.
like, you know, health inspectors have to come here sometimes, so maybe, like, don't bring that shit in here. Same for that praying mantis, actually. Like,
yeah, Ernie's
that
got
that here.
Rich widow money now. He doesn't have anything to worry about. So,
you can just bribe the inspectors.
Yeah. So, that's it. I mean, that's the episode. It is, other than the stuff we mentioned that with the, you know, the uncomfortableness, it's just a Power Rangers episode. Like we've had a row of really standard Power Rangers episodes.
I think just a Power Rangers episode is probably the best way to describe this.
Yeah.
Because when you watch a bunch of Power Rangers, you notice that it's kind of a formulaic show.
Yeah, absolutely.
This episode very much follows that formula.
Yeah, absolutely. The ones that have been weird since Doomsday, so since they got new footage, right? The most fun ones have been the ones where they had to reuse stuff. The pig episode, because it was just so fucking weird, you know, like, but. We've definitely had four or five that have just been sort of, standard episodes. Next week, Tommy's back, so that'll be a shakeup.
Yep.
So that's exciting. But, yeah, there's this, you know, it's upsetting. It is a product of the time, obviously, but it's just a lot of like, oh boy. I guess karate and kung fu, whatever, it's all the same.
Much like different Asian cultures, different martial arts are exactly the same. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Sure.
Just, and also, let's just do a quick coverall apology right out of the gate. We probably unintentionally said some really fucking offensive stuff ourselves in this episode. Just hi. How it works.
If we got anything wrong, like, about, you know, not actually extant racial stereotypes, we apologize.
I'm so sorry. I think if you were upsetting people with the things you said, they would have stopped listening a long time
That's
ago.
That's true.
That's true. So, please, anything we're fucking dead wrong on in this episode or any other, please, you know, write in and correct
us.
Yeah, you can let us know.
Call us out on it.
Don't let us continue to be stupid forever.
Yep.
But
it's more funny this way.
Actually more funny that way.
Let us continue to be ignorant morons. That's it for this. I'm trying to think. Okay. Yeah, I guess questions? That's it. So let's move into questions. I don't have a ton. Oh, first of all, if you have a question, send us one at Teenagers with Attitude, the Facebook group. You can send one to us on Twitter, at Teens with Tude. You can send us an email, which is... I always forget this one.
Teenswithtude@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Yes.
And you can send us a question any of those ways. I've got a couple that are more like sort of like theories or comments.
Any of them racist?
I don't think so.
Oh, then we can't answer them.
We have a theme for this episode, and we have to stick
with
it.
I'm the guest. That means I get to make the rules.
Yeah, that's how it works. Right? Yeah. We do have one which is kind of cool, which is a theory, that, let me find it real quick. Sorry. Christopher, from the thread, from the Facebook group, has been watching Jungle Fury. And he says, he writes in and says, so I've been watching Jungle Fury. The foot soldiers, the Rinchi, are very putty-like. They have kind of an army grunt noise. But also, I wanted to point out the male rangers need a belt on their costume because their bulge is worse than putty bulge. and he says, also, I have my own morphing grid theory based on this series, which is that the original Power Rangers that Zordon first made, so his original Rangers, like before 10,000 years ago, when he gave the coins out the first time, didn't have a theme. The power came purely from the grid and wasn't diluted. I imagine that the morphing grid is like the Green Lantern central battery. They all have a way to access the power, but some people can tap into it without help. That's why Zordon could give them access directly to the powers. But the grid has certain spots on it that are easier to access, and that's why we occasionally get recurring themes, like three different dinosaur rangers, because dinosaurs have been around so long. Then ninjas, for the concentration and training and martial arts in general. Zordon needed teenagers with attitude because emotions are easier to access at the age of 16. And with each mentor chipping into the morphing grid, it becomes easier and easier to get rangers, which is why in Dino Charge, they have 10 rangers at once. So he's got a couple theories about how the morphing grid works, that I like. The whole, like, they access different parts of the morphing grid thing is I wouldn't say canon, because fucking nothing about the morphing grid is ever, like, explicitly stated.
It's pretty well-supported, though.
Yeah. After the Zordon years, is the morphing grid ever referred to?
I don't know.
So, in Dino Thunder, the one where Tommy comes back, there is a clip show episode where the new rangers find like a piece of the morphing grid, like a physical piece of it.
How does that work?
It just looks like a rock. I don't know what to tell you. And it has like memories of the previous Ranger teams in it. So they use it as like a anniversary, like catch up episode. But it's also in canon as far as I know. So like, yeah, it does get mentioned again in RPM. The scientist character who creates the powers calls it like, she doesn't call it the morphing grid, but she says, I found a way to tap into like this bioenergy field that's everywhere. And I think it's pretty much supposed to be the morphing grid. So it gets brought up every now and then for sure. It's just not, they don't ever lay it out like we've mentioned. I like the idea of like, there are certain, like, the more you access it, the more it's easier to make more dinosaur rangers or more ninja rangers or whatever. I think that's kind of cool.
I think that this person has put far, 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 far more time into this theory than the writers of the show ever did.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
dude,
100%.
We put more thought into it than the writers did.
Yeah.
We're fucking idiots. See the last, I don't know, hour and a half.
No, I'm not sure what you're talking about. The last hour and a half is pure quality.
No, actually, the hour and a half is probably about right.
So, I have another one. Ben, this is just a kind of a comment. He points out that Tommy didn't appear in some flashbacks recently. I can't remember which episode he's talking about specifically.
I think it was the Crystal of Nightmares?
Yes, the Crystal of Nightmares.
Yeah, because whenever the Rangers had a flashback to something where Tommy should be there, he wasn't.
And we theorized it was because he would have had to be paid. And he points out there is a Power Rangers RPM team-up episode called Clash of the Red Rangers, where the RPM Red Ranger appears only morphed, because he's from a different, the RPM is from like a different timeline or dimension, which that's like in the episode or in the show, they mention that, but he says he's like worried he won't be able to breathe the air in their dimension, AKA because Ekka Darville, the guy who plays the Red Ranger and has also been in more stuff now, like he was in Jessica Jones. He joined the SAG, between, his season and theirs. So,
Screen Actors Guild, to be clear.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so he became entitled to, respect.
Right,
and
this Screen Actors Guild also has a minimum payment for appearance, if you're a member. And so he probably didn't. So they used a fake name, basically. He's credited under a pseudonym because, Power Rangers didn't have the money to pay an actual Screen Actors Guild
member. I think
there's
also, like, some kind of restriction where, like, you're not allowed to be in something that's not using union actors.
Yeah.
Like, if you're using...
Yeah, I've definitely heard that.
Yeah, if you want to use any, like, SAG actors, you have to use all SAG actors.
Oh, okay.
Not all, only, because there's a lot of SAG actors.
Yeah, you have to use all the SAG actors.
Not all of the SAG actors, but all of your right. actors are SAG
So we need a part for Gary Busey in here somewhere in this Power Rangers episode. God.
That's just something I remember from, like, and this is going to be kind of a bit of a deep cut, although Matt's going to know what I'm talking about, when Monday Night Combat ended and they had to move on to making Super Monday Night Combat. They made the sequel to that. They lost the guy who played Mickey Cantor, who was kind of the voice of that game. He was an announcer because it was kind of a sports parody. And, like, the thing is, that guy joined a union after they made the first game, and the folks who made those games, Uber Entertainment, used a lot of non-union actors because it was just a fucking indie game. So they couldn't get him back, and so they had to write all these, like, convoluted, like, story reasons for what the fuck happened to Mickey. Where did he go?
Like, a while ago, there was a whole thing about video game voice actors where they threatened or actually went on strike, I'm not sure, and that was one of the things about it, you know, that
and,
they wanted.
And no, he didn't turn into a chicken. You're thinking of Chicky Cantor.
I know the
Mickey
chicken
Cantor's
is just a,
adopted
just a
son,
chicken that's named after.
He's a chicken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, okay, that
was
got really weird,
I was just
going to
show off that I know about the thing you were talking about by making an inaccurate
Well,
joke.
I'm confused as fuck, so at least somebody
fucking
did.
Fucking Super Monday Night Combat, rest in peace. God damn.
Yeah, god damn. Wasn't, like, that fucking arc resolved? Wasn't, the way they wrote him out, wasn't he being, like, chased by, like, the Mexican fucking, like, weird soda mob or some weird shit
like
that?
There was all kinds of weird stuff. Like, he was on the run from, like, his 75 ex-wives and...
And like, also the mob.
Yeah, and like also like his like he had an army of illegitimate children who wanted his fucking head. Like it was just that game got really weird. Yeah.
Fuck, that game ruled though. Goddamn,
it did.
Did it?
You got to play as a lunatic who thought he was a superhero, but he had actual like lightning powers and. All kinds of weird shit.
And his nemesis was the Balloon Master, who had a goddamn balloon for everything he did.
Yes, the fucking Balloon Master. He also had, I
played a bit of that game, and I don't remember those characters at all.
Yeah.
He's talking about Captain Spark, who was, like, the weird fucking Silver Age comic book character.
Wasn't he, like, a robot?
No, you're thinking... There's definitely some robots, but, like, yeah... Captain Spark was just, he was just funny. He's like, who wants to go to the aquarium later and see me screw with the sharks?
Alright, let's move on, because I'm super confused. But I've got one more, and then we'll call it here. Dutch Wrangler on Twitter shoots us a, this is a little bit of a spoiler for later on, but I wanted to mention it because it lets us talk about something that has been bugging me for a while. He says, you know, I finally started watching along with the podcast. I've been listening for a while, but haven't, been watching. And I finally started for the first time since I was a kid and I watched on a little, and you had stated you wished Alpha did more. I don't think I said I wished he did more. I think I said I was surprised he didn't do more. but apparently he says there is an, He's watching a little bit ahead, and there is an episode where Alpha tries to kill himself.
What?
So he leaves the command center.
Seriously?
And he runs into a monster, and his first reaction.
Oh my god, yes.
Is to try to self-destruct himself. And he says, I guess that's what happened to Alpha 1-4. So,
oh my god.
Yeah, the I don't remember which season it's in, but yeah, it's basically an Alpha's Day Out kind of episode.
So, it's weird. So yeah. That's great. I'm really excited for that to happen.
Just the phrase Alpha's Day Out.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, I wanted to mention it even though it's a little bit.
I mean, didn't they have one of those already?
Oh yeah, man, there was. When Alpha 5 came online the first time, do you think they were like, beep boop, what happened to Alphas 1-4?
Yeah,
they took a long vacation.
Yeah, why am I number 5?
They went to a farm. That's where
they're
go
they're
eventually.
In the command center upstate where they're happy to run around and be
No, Mike, he says they went to a farm, awkward 4-second pause, and then a monster found them and they killed themselves.
Lau, you're right, though. There was the episode, the Halloween episode, where he just went out because it was Halloween. Yep. And that was the best Alpha episode, because he was getting ladies.
So far.
That was fantastic. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
man,
the other
ladies
episodes you've watched you would call an Alpha episode.
It was the only one where he had any kind of spotlight, I guess.
It was the Alpha episode.
Yeah. He really hasn't... So first of all, yeah, he has gotten very... Very little screen time, and that's weird to me that they have an Alpha. They invented a robot character, and he's just not in it that much. But also,
but he's in the show the longest, though. He goes all the way up to the end of Lost Galaxy, which is longer than any other character.
Yeah,
even though that's technically Alpha 6 by then. But yeah.
But let me ask something. Like, have we talked? Is Alpha sentient? Like, yeah, right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he has to be.
Then, like, the fact that he either was programmed by Zordon to blow himself up or decided to blow himself up is super fucked up. Like,
no matter how you look at it,
yeah that's not cool. I wish they would.
Like, he has other defense mechanisms. We've seen them. Like, he zapped those putties.
Yeah, he has, like, a taser thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't work in real monsters.
That's true, yeah. It wouldn't be strong enough. I do wish that Alpha... It's funny, because I find Alpha irritating, but mostly because all he does is yell, I. If he got to do a little bit more, I think I would actually kind of like him, because he's a weird robot with a voice I like, is Richard Horvitz or whatever. And he's, I mean... He's goofy. When he gets to do stuff, I like him. But it's definitely, I feel like I've noticed it even more lately, where, like, Alpha is literally just hands for Zordon in the last couple episodes. Like, he Zordon does all the talking, and Alpha just pushes some buttons. And it's been interesting. I wonder if they wanted, cause they reuse Alpha footage too. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they just didn't want to shoot any more Zordon, any more Command Center stuff that they had to.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also, these episodes we're in right now are kind of garbage. Like, all the post Doomsday pre Tommy stuff is ugh.
And yeah, these 10 episodes. Really, I guess we could talk about it since this is the last one. These are not great.
These have been the low point so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Aside from the one with the pig, which was amazing,
yes, that was incredible. I mean, Luke, if Luke was here, he really liked the pig one, and I think the seed one, because they were just weird because they didn't have the new footage yet.
But, I think we all liked the pig one.
Yeah, the pig one's great. And the fish one was so dumb. But the last like four have been pretty bad, I think.
Why did the fish shoot string?
I don't know. That's a good question. And then they called it goo or venom or whatever.
Why the hell was Billy deathly afraid of a fish that was already dead?
Yeah. So I'm glad. It's not surprising, I guess, that those episodes didn't turn out great, given how they were made. But I am glad that they're starting to, you know, next week we're going to be moving on to, like, some plot stuff, for lack of a better
word. And then it's the last stretch of the season after that.
Yeah, for lack of a better word. And then, you know, we have some more Tommy stuff, which is interesting. And I just noticed that the pumpkin wrapper episode is only, like, 6 episodes away.
Oh, yes! Awesome. I'm sorry, awesome. I thought it was in season 2.
There's
actually,
a pumpkin rapper?
Yeah, he's a pumpkin who raps. What's confusing about that?
Yep. God, I forgot about that.
His famous line is, pumpkin rapping is about to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's some dumb shit coming up, which is exciting. I'm happy for that, but,
I've watched that episode sometime in the last 2 years, and I have no memory of it.
You probably scrubbed it out of your brain. So, all right, that's going to do it for us this week. Like I said, if you have any questions, you can shoot them to us any of those ways. You know, or comments, theories, stuff like we talked about this time. Does anybody have anything they want to plug this week?
Nope.
I have something.
Okay.
Kinda.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I made a somewhat popular mod for XCOM 2 that replaces the health bars with numbers.
Oh, cool. And
as of the last update to the game, when you hide the default health bars, it leaves behind a big ugly gray bar. So, in the unlikely event that anyone from Fur Axis is listening to this, could you please fix that? Make it be like it was before? People in my comments are being really annoying about it, and there's nothing I can really do.
Okay, I hope someone from Firaxis is listening.
I mean,
hey, Firaxis people, please send me an early copy of Civilization 6. Thank you!
I mean, I did... Right.
Hey, Firaxis folks, what do you think about those mods that, like, put Overwatch characters in XCOM?
Sorry, go ahead, Lau.
I mean, I did actually write, like, some Firaxis guy on Twitter a few days after the update that happened. He directed me to some other person that apparently was responsible for the UI, but said person has never responded. And the Twitter account was not particularly active, so I guess maybe they just don't use Twitter.
What's the name of the mod?
The mod's just called Numeric Health Display. It's on Steam Workshop.
Cool. Alright, there you go.
Oh yeah, maybe you should mention the name of the thing if you plug it something.
Yeah, probably. It's okay. So yeah, if a Firaxis person goes to their supervisor and goes like, hey, I was listening to... it's not important. we should fix this. Anyway. And I guess the other thing I'll mention, because I haven't mentioned in a while, is if you do have a minute, and you could go review or rate us on iTunes, that would be awesome. Or mention us, on Twitter. That also will always help us grow
or just fucking tell a friend about this dumb thing.
Yeah. And that'll let us keep doing this stupid thing. So,
but if you do that thing, make sure to say good things and not bad things. Because if you say bad things, that defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
If you say bad
be
things,
honest.
Don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Yes. So,
I don't subscribe to being nice over being honest.
Yeah,
I mean, if this episode taught us anything, it's that being nice is not the key to victory.
No,
you have to be deceptive and lie to people.
Yes. Yep. So that's going to do it for us this week. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I've been Small.
I've been Mike.
I've been Matt.
I'm still loud. We don't lose our identities just because we were on a podcast in Denmark.
No, that's what. No, you need to read the fine print when you guess on this podcast. You're no longer allowed after this.
Yeah, you're going into the blood packed tube until we need you again.
Yeah,
so.
Sorry about that. But until next time.
Do you at least pay to have me shipped over there? I'm not paying for that.
Okay, well,
that's what you think.
We'll get that worked out. Until next time, may the power protect you always.
You're not the only bug foo expert in town anymore. My partner and I are the newest and only masters of the mystical cockroach kung-fu. Oh, no more bugs.
Want to date a cockroach boo master, babe?
I don't date bugs. Skull, there's no such thing as cockroach kung fu.
There is now.